Marquise Noel with the steal. And the hammer for Mark Smith as he parachutes in for the jam.
K-State cruises last night. Men's basketball at Bramlage over Albany 71-43. They had a season-high 10 made three-pointers, including five from sophomore Nigel Pack, who had a game-high 17 points. Fifth-year senior Mark Smith, who you heard there on the dunk, and sophomore Selton Miguel each had double-doubles. As K-State rolls, Bruce Weber on his team and their outside shooting prowess.
I've said all along we're a pretty good shooting team, but we got to get good shots. And when we get open threes, we're going to make them. And that means making the right pass, the simple pass we talked about at halftime. If we do that, we're pretty good. So, I don't know how many assists, but when we get assists, usually that means success on the offensive end.
So K-State wins are now 4-2, and they'll take on the Wichita State Shockers, who went on the road to Stillwater, Oklahoma, and knocked off Oklahoma State for the third straight time. Wichita State have been 2-15 all time at Oklahoma State, but now they've won three in a row in Stillwater, and the Shockers now 6-1 on the season as they win 60-51. Oklahoma State now 6-2. Ricky Council, the fourth, Wichita State's second-year guard, scored 12 of his team-high 17 points in the final 10 minutes. Shockers rallied and won by 9. They trailed by 7 midway through the second half, but finished the game on a 22-6 run. Council made 5 straight shots during that stretch. It's a second road victory over a major conference foe in less than a week as Wichita State went to Missouri and won last Friday in Columbia, went to Stillwater, and now they get to host K-State coming up on Sunday in Wichita at Interest Bank Arena at 5 o'clock on ESPNU. And Oklahoma State missed its last 9 field goal attempts, saw a 5-game winning streak snap. They were receiving votes in the latest coaches poll. Maybe Wichita State should start getting some votes, especially if they'll knock off K-State coming up on Sunday. And also last night in college basketball, has the Nebraska football team infected the Nebraska men's basketball team? Has the football team infected the basketball team? The Nebraska Cornhusker men's team last night, led by 14 with less than 10 minutes to go, gave up a 14-0 run to North Carolina State at North Carolina State. The game went to quadruple overtime. That's right. 4 overtimes, and NC State won over Nebraska 104-100. So not only does Nebraska football play close games and finds ways to lose, but now it's infected the men's basketball program. So Fred Hoiberg says, thank you, but no thanks. No Christmas gift for me this holiday season to you, Mr. Scott Frost, because you infected my basketball program. What? I mean, how many more close losses can Nebraska fans stomach when it comes to sports in general?
Yeah, our buddy Eric Allgood on Twitter last night, he's like, sports are stupid sometimes.
Yeah, right. When it doesn't go your way.
Yeah.
Nebraska men are now 5-3.
He's a Husker fan for sure.
Yeah, it hurts to be a Husker fan right now. But at least they know who their coach is for both sports, and especially football right now.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Notre Dame has a new head coach. According to reports, it's not official yet, but Notre Dame is expecting to promote defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman to replace the departed Brian Kelly as the next coach of the Fighting Irish. Freeman's only 35. He'll take over the program less than one season after joining Notre Dame from Cincinnati. The deal is not yet official, but that's what expected to happen. There's all kinds of rumors again about Oklahoma's going to have their announcement last night, and they're going to have a new head coach, and Venables is a done deal, and yet here we are on December the 2nd, and Lincoln Riley announced on Sunday. So we've now gone 5 days, and Oklahoma doesn't have a coach. I don't think done deals take 5 days.
No.
But anyway, once again, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. When it happens, it happens, and we'll break it down, and then people will say, well, this is the guy that we should hire. We hired the wrong guy, whatever the case may be. Let's just go ahead and wait until they actually hire a guy and then go from there. I still don't think it's going to be Brent Venables. But could be wrong, and if I am, great, then we'll discuss Brent Venables' next head coach at OU. But there's no point in doing that until he's actually named the head coach at OU. And as Dusty pointed out yesterday, you can be named the coach and a day later change your mind, as did Dana Altman, chop suey, pig suey, not chop suey, that's a good song though, pig suey there at Arkansas. Did the chant and everything, and next day, I'm going back. Was that when he went back to Creighton?
Creighton, yeah.
And then eventually went to Oregon. When he went to Oregon, Creighton fans were like, he'll figure it out in 24 hours to come back to us. Now that time he stuck with Oregon. All right, local sports, Dusty.
Yeah, we have high school basketball locker room chats coming up tonight. We'll tell you about. We will talk with the head coaches of St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. And those will start around 5:15 this evening on Katy Country 94 and KatyCountry94.com. Most of our immediate area basketball teams, and in fact, all of them, the immediate area is opening tomorrow night with high school basketball. There's one team from the NCAA that's starting their season tonight. That's Republic County. They're slated to open in Belleville against Thayer Central here this evening. in high school basketball. If you missed our locker room chats from last night with the coaches of Beloit Osborne Smith Center and Thunder Ridge, you can go back and listen to those on our locker room chat podcast at katycountry94.com as well. Now, also tonight, high school wrestling set to begin as the Beloit Trojans are hosting a double duel with Phillipsburg and Plainville at 5 o'clock at Beloit High. The Trojans obviously have had limited time with their whole roster since the football team made it all the way to the state championship game, so a lot of those guys are just getting into the room earlier this week, and again, they'll start tonight with a double duel with Plainville and Phillipsburg. We had a chance on our locker room chats to talk with Coach Andy Nemchek about how things are going. Do you have the cup pulled up for a coach there? And he was able to tell us a little bit about what they're doing right now. He knows that it's rough to have practices just starting on Monday, but he's really looking forward to this season either way.
Our kids won't be ready, but that's the way it is. And we'll throw together a team and step on the mat and do what we can. But very much looking forward to this season. And our goals haven't changed any in the last couple, 2-3 years. We still think that we're a top three team in the 3-2-1A if things work out, and we think we can qualify a bunch of kids for the state tournament.
We had a whole preview of the season with Coach Nemchek as well, and also Coach Jason Noll of Osborne and Landon Keyswetter at Smith Center. And for all those interviews, you can go back and listen to those locker room chats as well in our podcast at katycountry94.com. As far as Osborne and Smith Center, they'll start their seasons coming up on Saturday at the Osborne Invitational. So let's look at what's going on. Again, high school hoops starting tomorrow night. We'll have Beloit against Concordia on Katy Country 94, an online video stream at the Beloit Trojan channel at ncksports.com as we shift back to basketball there. And we'll have pregame coverage at 5:50 and tip-off at 6 o'clock. The boys' game will follow the girls coming up tomorrow night on Katy Country 94 and ncksports.com. And we'll go through all the other area games that are going on coming up on our sports tomorrow. We'll preview high school basketball and the opening night of the season coming up tomorrow night for our area teams.
All right. Let's see. Where do we go from here? Oh, yes. The pleasant story of Major League Baseball. Players and owners not agreeing on things. Major League Baseball lockout is official now. Major League Baseball's collective bargaining agreement, the contract that allows Major League Baseball and the Players Association to conduct business, expired last night at midnight. MLB owners voted to lock out the players unanimously, according to many reports. Lockout marks the first league work stoppage since 1994/95. During the lockout, free agents will not be allowed to sign, and teams will not be permitted to trade players who are part of the union. Here's what the commissioner, Rob Manfred, had to say in a statement to fans. Simply put, we believe that an off-season lockout is the best mechanism to protect the 2022 season. We hope that the lockout will jumpstart negotiations and get us to an agreement that will allow the season to start on time. The defensive lockout was necessary because the Players Association's vision for Major League Baseball would threaten the ability of most teams to be competitive. It's simply not a viable option. From the beginning, the Players Association has been unwilling to move from their starting position, compromise, or collaborate on solutions. Last night, in order to avoid a lockout, these two sides got together somehow for a whopping 7 minutes, and that was that. Major League Baseball Player Association responds and counters with their own statement. This shutdown is a dramatic measure, regardless of the timing. It's not required by law or for any other reason. It was the owner's choice, plain and simple, specifically calculated to pressure players into relinquishing their rights and benefits and abandoning good faith bargaining proposals that will benefit not just players, but the game and industry as a whole. These tactics are not new. We've been here before, and players have risen to the occasion time and again. Guided by a solidarity that has been forged over generations, we will do so again here. We remain determined to return to the field under the terms of a negotiated collective bargaining agreement that is fair to all parties and provide fans with the best version of the game that we all love. Rob Manfred is having a press conference as we speak at Globe Life Field in Arlington here this morning. The league and the players union have been far apart for a while on a new CBA, and last minute talks between the two sides this week in Texas did not result in a deal. So all kinds of things that we can look forward to down the line, and we'll see how long this lockout lasts when it comes to Major League Baseball. And I'm going to say this again. I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again. I know people might be tired of it. This is another example of Major League Baseball losing to other sports. You know, there have been work stoppages of other sports. Don't get me wrong. You know, the NBA's had a lockout before. The NHL has had basically lost the season because of it. Major League Baseball lost most of it. Well, they did lose the season. The playoffs in 1994, the last stoppage that they had, and that just killed the Expos organization. They had the best record in baseball at the time. The Royals were on a roll at the time, had 14 wins in a row and so forth and so on. So it wasn't good for small market teams then. It's not good for anybody now. you know, the NFL has done a really good job of avoiding lockouts for the most part. Yes, there was the replacement players back, what was that, early 80s. There had some strife and everything else. But the one major sport of all the major sports that's had the most stoppages over time has been Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. And baseball continues to repeat the same mistakes over and over and over. Now, granted, they've actually gone a quarter of a century without having a stoppage, which has got to be a world record for Major League Baseball. But here we are again.
Yeah,
and I'm going to tell you right now, I really do love baseball. I do love baseball. I love, you know, I enjoyed coaching it. I enjoyed the strategy of baseball. I know some people think it's boring. It is boring at times for me, too, especially as a person watching on television. Don't get me wrong. A lot of dead time. But I still enjoy the sport. I like to go to games. I like to go to Royals games. I like to sit in, as a fan, and enjoy that and the atmosphere. It is a unique thing. There's no clock on it. At the same time, I don't want to sit in my seat at a Royals game for 4.5 hours for a 9-inning game. But also this other thing is, listen, if there's no Major League Baseball and the players and owners can't get together and figure out what's going to go on, I'll move on. My life will go on. I'm not going to lose a lot of sleep because there's no Major League Baseball, and I'm a big sports fan, and I just told you I'm a baseball fan. But if the players and owners can't get together, millionaires and billionaires not agreeing on money and this and that, that's their problem. It doesn't need to affect my life. I mean, they'll be so I'll save some money. I don't have to go to Kansas City for a couple of road trips. So be it. I save money on tickets. So be it. I'll just save that up and maybe put it towards Chiefs tickets. You know, I'll put it towards KU or K-State tickets or Nebraska or Oklahoma tickets. Or maybe I'll just, you know, invest it. But I don't have to have Major League Baseball. Would I like to have it? Sure. In a perfect world, I would. I don't have to have it. And I even know that even more now, personally, in my world, as I've talked with other people about this. When COVID-19 happened and we couldn't go to the games anyway a year ago, you know, honestly, it didn't bother me that much. Like, I was itching to go to a game, and I got to this year. But you know what? I had more time with my kids. I had more time to do stuff outside. I didn't worry about following, oh, how the Royals do tonight. It was like, you know what? There's other things going on in life. Mm-hmm. Life moves on. You know, if I die tomorrow, life goes on for everybody else. You know, if I'm not here tomorrow, life goes on. I mean, I might be important to some people, but let's be honest. Life goes on. Same thing with baseball. There's no baseball? Big deal. I got football. I got this sport. I got soccer. I got hockey. I could do all kinds of, I can do other things. I go to concerts. I could just do other stuff. I don't have to have sports. I don't. And you and I have talked about this before. You and I are huge sports fans. We host a sports show every weekday morning right now, The Sports Ticket. We love sports. But at the same time, listen, when COVID happened and sports are wiped out, it wasn't ideal. We would have loved to have had sports. We'd love to have gone to college football games and pro football games. And it's weird having stadiums empty. But at the same time, life moved on. We found ways to fill our time, didn't mm-hmm. we? We found out that we don't have to, in order to live, we don't have to depend on sports. And I love sports. I think that sports can be great for young people, high school, junior high, whatever it might be. And it teaches you very many lessons on life. So I'm not knocking sports. But I'm just saying from an entertainment standpoint, when it comes to professional sports, believe it or not, we don't have to have Major League Baseball. The people that really get hurt in this thing, as we talk about every single time there's a work stoppage in any sport, the people that get hurt are not necessarily the players. They're definitely not the owners. It is the people that are the ushers, the concession stand workers, mm-hmm. the people that rely on part-time income, or maybe it's a full-time gig or whatever it is, the people in the marketing department, the people in the offices during winter or during baseball season if there's a lockout, or the NBA. It's people that might be working to try in the promotions department making $25,000 a year. And you have a lockout. It's like, okay, now what do I do? Am I going to get paid? What's going to happen? Whereas, you know, the million-dollar coaches and players, they're still going to get their money. They're smart. They didn't blow it all. And they're going to be okay. Even a league minimum, these players make more than anybody in the mm-hmm. that's doing the marketing, promotions, in control of food and service development and pop and beer and distributorships and all that. Those are the people that always get hit the most. It's just how it is. It's the person at the lower part of the totem pole that gets affected by people that can't agree on things, and that's what we have again with Major League Baseball. And I say, you know what? Just like I'm not going to worry and sleep and lose sleep about who's the next head coach of Oklahoma until it actually happens, I'm not going to worry about Major League Baseball playing a game this year until they get their stuff worked out, and that's on them. It's no need for me to worry about.
Yeah, and is, you know, you talk about some of the, there's actually been a lockout in every other major sports league except Major League Baseball since
in the last
the
30 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
10
but
years
baseball
ago, the
has
NFL,
had many more stoppages than any other professional
10
sport.
Years ago in the NFL, it all happened during the offseason and nobody cared about it, right?
Right.
Like, it was like,
as long as it doesn't affect your season.
We didn't lose any games.
That's why baseball.
It was a 4-month deal, but it was March to July.
But that's why baseball's doing it now. The owners are like, we want to do it now in the offseason. The players could have walked out and during the season.
Yeah.
And would have had more leverage had they done that. They decided as well, that was one thing they could agree on. Let's try to deal with this in the offseason. Now they have the lockout. So they could get all figured out by April.
Yeah.
Or get a late start. Big deal. You had dealt with COVID anyway. But that's a good point. Maybe baseball's learned from that standpoint. But if they can't figure this out and it leaks into the season, that's when you really get affected. That's when people remember you having failures, is when you actually take away games off your season.
Yeah. I mean, I see a lot of people freaking out on social media. I'm like, dude, if they get this thing figured out by the time the season starts, none of this means anything.
Exactly.
Like, that's why they've had all these this flurry of signings before this happened.
That's why.
In free agency. So they could be ready when they do get it figured out. And I would predict that they'll get it figured out and there won't be any games lost. There might be a little bit of spring training lost. I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's just like, nobody's going to remember this if they get it figured out
right
before the season starts.
But if opening day's delayed, people
like
are going to remember.
Hockey lost an entire season. Yes. They remember that, right?
Yes, yes. Well, Major League Baseball lost.
Basketball's lost part of their season twice since the Major League Baseball.
Baseball lost the entire World Season postseason that even had World Series during World Wars, but then they had their own stoppage in 94.
Yeah.
And like I said, the Expos are the best team in baseball and killed that. Next thing you know, a few years later, they're moving into Washington. You talk about a strike that affected one, in particular, one organization. It was the Montreal Expos in 1994. It affected the Royals, too. They had won 14 in a row shortly before the strike happened. They were moving up in the standings. Hal McRae was the manager. Hal McRae then was fired after the strike, which was weird. And the Royals never really recovered for a while after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not good for anybody, but don't sit here and side. Just be careful not siding with the owners all the time. The owners are counting their money, wiping all kinds of things with money. That they have so much money. It's like the Dumb and Dumber when they get the briefcase of money and they're in the hotel room and they're blowing their nose with money.
Yeah.
The owners have that much money. They can blow, they can take a $20 bill, a Benjamin, they can blow their nose and flush it down the toilet. And they're plenty fine. Don't feel sorry for the owners at all in this situation. And listen, I don't really feel sorry for the players too much either, except for the lower guys on the totem pole making the league minimum, even though that's still more than I'll ever make in a year. But I see the people you need to feel sorry for are the regular Joe Schmoes and Jane Does that are, doing things behind the scene that I just explained. That's the people you should feel sorry for and hope things get better, because they're the ones that are always affected. Just like when we talk about college football coaches departing, like Brian Kelly at Lincoln Riley, the organizations will find a new coach, they'll find money to pay a new guy, bring a guy in. The players are the ones going, what do we do now? They're the ones holding. They're at the end of the totem pole. They're the lower end of that feeding chain. So anyway, this is fun stuff. Bronco fans are really going to enjoy this part of the show, I can tell you right now. Do you know the last time the Denver Broncos beat the Kansas City Chiefs in a football game?
It's been a while. It's 2016?
Nope.
18?
Nope.
Man. I'm trying to do the math in my head. I know it's 11 in a row.
They have lost. The Broncos have lost 11 games in a row that has spanned 1,431 days, 12 Bronco quarterbacks, 3 Bronco head coaches, 6 double-digit blowouts by the Chiefs, 4 by 20 or more, 2 close calls decided by only 3 points, and 3 presidents of the United States of America. It's been so long since the Broncos beat the Chiefs, it's possible the current president might not even remember it happened. With a win at Arrowhead on Sunday night, the Chiefs would secure the longest win streak in a rivalry that goes back 6 decades. The Chiefs won 11 in a row in the late 60s. The last time the Broncos beat the Kansas City Chiefs was September 17, 2015.
15, yeah.
You remember why or how the Chiefs lost that game? Because they should have...
Was that the fumble by
Charles,
wasn't it? Yeah, they should have won that.
They should have never lost that game. Should have never lost that game. They lost that to a Peyton Manning quarterback that was being washed up at the time.
Yeah.
Jamal Charles fumbled with 27 seconds left. And Bradley Roby returned the fumble for a touchdown Yeah, the Chiefs were just trying to run a play or two, and they go into overtime, should have taken a knee. Charles fumbled, it was returned, scooped, and scored, and it was an amazing, crazy win for Denver over Alex Smith and the Chiefs, and I remember talking about on our show going, the Chiefs just coughed it up and handed the game to the Broncos, which is true, and that's the last time the Broncos have won. And believe it or not, the Broncos, that was the seventh win of a seven-game winning streak against the Chiefs. Since then, the Chiefs have won 11 in a row. Patrick Mahomes' first game in the NFL was against the Broncos. You remember that? The opposing coach was Vance Joseph, and the quarterback was Paxton Lynch. And the Broncos almost won that game. And the Chiefs had backup players in that one, and Mahomes still led them in victory. Patrick Mahomes is 7-0 against the Denver Broncos. So, Broncos-Chiefs Sunday night. Will the Broncos win for the first time in 1,435 days? That is a long stretch. And I must say, as a Chiefs fan, I get great enjoyment out of this. As a Chiefs fan, I say what goes around comes around. All these years that the Chiefs kept getting beaten by Elway in the last seconds, or then Peyton Manning would come in, even like that Jamal Charles fumble, the Chiefs felt snake-bitten when they played the Broncos. The Broncos were the team that always could get to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs couldn't. Now guess what? The shoe's on the other foot. The Chiefs are always with the retread quarterbacks, never got their franchise quarterback, never a star quarterback. Broncos had Elway. Then they got Manning for a couple of good years at the end, won another Super Bowl, and it's like, okay, why can't the Chiefs ever break through? And then they drafted a guy named Patrick Mahomes. And Manning, of course, ended up, Father Time caught out to him. And that combination of those two things has sent the Chiefs spiraling upward and the Broncos spiraling downward. And you may say, well, wait a minute. The Broncos are 6-5. They're only a game out of first place. Listen, I told Dusty this yesterday. If the Broncos beat the Chiefs Sunday night at Arrowhead, after the game, if you ask anybody that knows anything about football and you ask who's a bigger threat out of the AFC to make it to the Super Bowl, the Broncos or the Chiefs, nobody will say the Broncos. They won't. They won't. And by the way, enjoy Teddy Bridgewater. Nice, decent quarterback. He reminds me a lot of, any of the 49er quarterbacks the Chiefs got. Any of them. Matt Castle, Elvis Gerbach, whatever. You know, those are decent quarterbacks. The Chiefs would win games. They would even win an occasional division with Matt Castle. Those were decent teams, you know. They were okay, but they were never a threat. Never a threat to make it to the Super Bowl. Never a threat to win the Super Bowl. They were a nice team that could make the playoffs and then draft around, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21 in the draft. That's just how it worked. The Broncos passed on Mac Jones. I think it's a huge mistake. I said it at the time. And they had him, and the Patriots then could, boom, and they settled for a retread quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater. Now, Teddy Bridgewater is not a horrible quarterback. He's a decent, solid quarterback, but he's no superstar. He's no Patrick Mahomes. And you may, you know, Bronco fans may, well, you just wait. When we beat you, we're going to rub it in your face. Go ahead. You know, I mean, the sun shines on a dog's, you know what, every once in a while. You know, you're bound to win one. You might win Sunday night, and the Chiefs play horrible. You might play the game of your life, and Bridgewater will throw for 350 yards. And that's not going to change my opinion. Not at all. Because I'll be like, you know what? The Denver Broncos right now would trade Teddy Bridgewater for Patrick Mahomes in a heartbeat. The Denver Broncos would move all kinds of cap space to bring in Patrick Mahomes if they could. Just like the Chiefs would have done the same thing if they could have got John Elway. My point is, the Chiefs fans are just like the Bronco fans used to be. And the Bronco fans are now the way the Chiefs used to be. It is completely the same thing. It's just that we've got our quarterback. After you've had your quarterback for so long, we've got our Super Bowl appearances and Super Bowl championship. You had multiple ones back-to-back with Elway. Mahomes may end up getting more than Elway. He may not get another one. I don't know. Time will tell. He's only 26. But I will tell you this. The Broncos own the Chiefs for seven straight games. Now the Chiefs have owned them for the last 1,500 days. And I don't think that's going to change in the considerable future until the Broncos find their franchise quarterback. And Teddy Bridgewater is not the franchise quarterback.
No.
And so keep going with him. There was nobody more happier than me when the Broncos passed on Justin Fields and Mac Jones. Didn't trade up to get a guy. Didn't go with Mac Jones when he was right there. There was nobody happier than me because I'm like, fine, great. Let them go to a different division. At least it's not in our own division. We don't have to worry about that. They want to bring in Bridgewater and Drew Lock and compete for a job? Sweet. Go for it. Knock yourself out. You are the Kansas City Chiefs of the West now. You are the one now getting the veteran quarterbacks, so forth and so on, that are good enough to, you know, game manage and win some games. And yes, be in competition or playoff spot. And maybe even compete for a division title here and there. But you're no threat to win the Super Bowl. I'd love that. And I'm sure Bronco fans enjoyed every second when Chiefs fans would get all excited about, oh my gosh, Alex Smith and the Chiefs are 11-5. We're the 3 seed. Oh my gosh, Alex Smith is the number one rated quarterback in NFL. And then they lose a 21-0 lead to the Titans in the playoffs. You know what Bronco fans said? Ha ha, that's what you do. You always do that. Yeah. Until you actually win it all, we won't believe it. Well, guess what? We did. Not we. I didn't do it. But the Chiefs did. So now you got to believe it. You got to deal with it. And the Bronco fan comeback is, well, we have more Super Bowls than you. Well, let's see what happens at the end of Mahomes' career, and we'll see where everybody stands. You may still have more. Not saying you won't. You may have the same amount. You may have less. All I know is the future is extremely bright for many years to come with a guy named Patrick Mahomes. And Teddy Bridgewater, I'm not even sure if he'll be the starting quarterback next year for your team. So Broncos, Chiefs, I say let the streak live on. But if it doesn't, and the Broncos finally win one, well, you know what? Odds are you're about to beat them somehow, some way, because it's been 1,500 days.
Your time's up, coming up soon if you feel that way about how streaks usually go. But
right. All streaks must come to an end.
Yeah.
I hope it's not coming up soon. I don't think it's going to be this year. But I could be wrong. I mean, Chiefs are probably more vulnerable than they have been the last few years. Thursday night football, Cowboys and the Saints. Cowboys, their head coach has COVID-19. They play in a third game in 12 days. Saints, Taysom Hill, supposedly going to be starting quarterback tonight. That'll make them better because Trevius Siemian has not been good the last few games. Saints have lost like four in a row. Cowboys have lost, what, three in a row, I think, or two in a row. KU and K-State volleyball. KU's trip to the NCAA tournament, the 10th in program history. The KU volleyball team, 16-11, will face Oregon, 22-10. That's a 4:30 start today in the first round at Omaha, Nebraska. If the KU women win, they will move on to the second round tomorrow against either Ole Miss or Creighton in Omaha. And the K-State women volleyball team made the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2016. They're going to play Florida State tomorrow at 4:30 in the first round at the Devaney Center in Lincoln. K-State women are 15-12. They earned their 18th all-time bid into the NCAA tournament.